Welcome to the ministry of Gene Fraser. We trust that the word you're about to hear will have a transforming effect on your life. Now, here's Gene with today's message.
We're going to learn today concerning living from the inside out. Amen. And, you know, before we even get started here, we know that we are a spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. Let's remember that first and foremost. I'm looking at a bunch of spirits. I'm looking at your earth suit, but you, the real you, is on the inside of you. That's the real you. Amen. So we are a spirit. We have a soul, and then we live in this body. But we are spirit. Say, I am spirit. Yeah. So we want to learn to live from the inside out. What does it mean to live from our spirit? To live from the real us. To live out of who we really are. What is living from the inside out? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Out of where? Out of our heart. We are to keep our heart. That's our heart, our spirit, the real us. Amen. That's what we're talking about here. Heart many times is interchangeable with spirit. That's who we are. So we're being told here in Proverbs to keep our heart with all diligence. For out of it, out of our heart, out of our spirit flows or springs the issues of life. So most people are living from the, I'm going to call it the outside out, right? We're learning how living from the inside out, from our spirit to the outside, but a lot of people are already living, even Christians, living from the outside out. What does that mean? Living from their soul, living from the flesh, everything according to the flesh, according to the soul. You know, that's our mind, our will, emotions. Yeah, we can't see our soul. Our soul is inside of us as well, but many people are living from that. And then, of course, even our flesh, whatever the flesh wants, the flesh gets, you know, living from that outside out. And we do not want to live that way. When we find ourselves, when we are living from the outside out, we're reacting to what we're feeling. We're reacting to experiencing you know, everything that's going around us, people's opinions, our opinions, circumstances, reasonings, all these kind of things that are not from our spirit, from the spirit of God, from our spirit on the inside of us. Many times we're living from those things, those outward things, and that's not from where we want to live. Amen? We want to live from our spirit because that's where life is to flow, and we want life flowing. Ladies, not only for us, think about where the day and age we're living in. We don't need life just flowing out for us, although thank God for that. But we need life flowing out of us for our families, for our loved ones, for our neighborhoods, for our employers, for our workplace, for our church, for the people at the grocery store. I mean, I want to be a life-giving spirit. Amen? And I know you do too. So we don't want to live from the outside out. We want to sink. Remember last Bible study we got together? We want to sink back into our inside, the real us, spirit man, sink in there and abide from there, and from there live from the inside out. A spirit that's been born again should be expressing itself. Too many times outward, we're expressing our outward man or, you know, our soul. And things like that, we don't want to be expressing those things. We want to be a people who are spirit and thus and therefore expressing our spirit. Amen. Who knows? Opinions have nothing to do with spirit, man. And I'll tell you just a little side note there that I think of sometimes, you know, opinions are very dangerous because a lot of times, opinions, when we find that we might be speaking our opinion much on a situation when we have no authority in that situation, or surely we definitely don't know everything that encompasses that situation, to actually speak our opinions is very prideful, and it's really very dangerous. Because who knows, you don't know it all, and I don't know it all. And we might see a situation, and we might voice our opinion. But man, we might be voicing something that isn't truth. So it's probably better that we keep our opinion to ourselves. Since we don't really know if it's necessarily true, Amen. Because again, it's not just affecting you. Who are you expressing your opinions to? Are your children hearing you? Your girlfriend on the telephone or all of Facebook land? Amen. Something to think about. We can be strong on opinions sometimes. But hey, been there, done that. I have been found to be wrong. I know you're like, no. I know. But I have found to be wrong in my opinion. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why you just want to stick with the word, stick with what God says. And that's just all there is to it. Stuff's between them and God. I got enough stuff between me and God to deal with. I don't have to get into someone else's stuff. Anybody have enough to deal with? Yeah. So, praise the Lord. Boy, we could leave here and we say, yeah, that was good. That helped me. Woohoo! But there's more. Say amen. So, but we want to be expressing ourselves, spirit man. We don't want to be dominated by our outer man. And you know what? On the inside of us spirit, there is such counsel. There is such wisdom. There's such life. There's such love. There's such expression of God. There's so much. That's why I believe the Spirit of God is so stirring in us. To realize we want to live from the inside out. Because that's where all the answers are. Amen. So we want to bring forth that counsel. And who knows, also there's the presence of God, the power of God lives and abides on the inside of each one of us. So if we're going to live from the inside out, that means that I'm going to live from that presence of him who lives in me, from that power of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. Hallelujah. Me, spirit man. Woo, boy. Everything can change when we walk out of this place today and say, hey, I'm living from the inside out, starting today. I'm endeavoring to live life from the inside out. And I'll tell you right now, though, we can't walk out of here and be like, oh, yeah, okay, I've got it. It's in a bag. It's a growing process. It's a learning process. At times, it's a humbling process. It's a time where when we fall, when we fail, we repent, we get up again. We don't go, woe is me, but we go, wow is God. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me and cleansing me as I repent from that thing. And I'm endeavoring now. I'm getting up. I'm living life from the inside out. And we don't do it in our own strength. We have the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. He is our helper. That's one, you know, I think, you know, it's almost like the Holy Spirit must be walking around up there being like, you know, it's like he's jobless or something with so many Christians. He's like as if he's got nothing to do. He's supposed to be our comforter, our helper. So many things, our peace, so many things. Let's all make sure that we've got the Holy Spirit doing his job on behalf of our life, at least. Amen. Right? So there's so many things that we have faced in life, we are facing in life, and we have yet to still face in life. But as we are learning to live from the inside out, wisdom flows, light comes, understanding is. God's presence is there. His power is there. Our answer is right there. So as we live from the inside, we're bringing that answer out into the light. And again, so many times I say to us all, but it's like, it's not, life isn't just about me. Your life isn't just about you. We affect the world around us everywhere you go. You know, go Krogering. Go living from the inside out to help those other fellow Krogerers Krogering. And you know, sometimes there is a pausing and a considering of what our spirit is saying or wanting to do. Sometimes we can get so caught up in the fast lane of life and moving too quick. And hey, it's good to be a mover and a shaker. I mean, everyone's got different personalities and things and all that stuff. I mean, those of you that know me, I mean, I'm a mover and a shaker. I mean, it's like moving, grooving. But, you know, at times then, there's times, though, that I do. I want to stop and, okay, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Is this good? Is this right? You know, and I'm always learning concerning that, too. So sometimes when we, you know, and then there's other people, if they went any slower, they'd be walking backwards. And it could just about drive these fast ones like me up a wall. It's like, Lord, just get some skip in your step and move it. But see, we both of the kinds of people have an advantage and disadvantages concerning that. So we want to look at our advantages, but then watch where our disadvantages are and watch ourselves on that. So those of you that possibly might be like me, at times you know, and we can be moving fast and doing things, but all the while, you know, we might not look like we're resting on the inside, we're working on the outside, but we are resting on the inside and being quiet on the inside. There might be a lot of sounds and noises around us, but on the inside, always, and see, like I said, it's a learning. It's a growing in that. It's a training of our spirit in that, of knowing how to yield to what's on the inside, listen and follow the direction from the inside. Direction from God does not come from the outside. It comes from the inside, because that's where he is. And, you know, fleeces can be awfully dangerous. Different ones, oh, well, God, if you'll just do this, then I know it's you. The devil will be sure he endeavors to do that for you. You think, that's not right, but I pray. No, fleeces, that stuff, you know, Gideon did a fleece. That's all Old Testament. They didn't have the Spirit of God. We don't need to be putting no fleeces out there. See, that's outward things. We're depending on hearing from God and knowing what God is saying for us and into our life, depending on outward things that are happening. The devil will definitely take care of the outward things around you to help you think that God's saying something he ain't. Amen. So we don't use fleeces. We look to the inside, the Holy Spirit. That's where he leads us now. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They had the prophets and the priests and things that they had to go do from hear from the Spirit of God, what God was saying. We have him. Each of us, born again, filled with the Spirit of God, have him living on the inside of us. We've got a guide on the inside, ladies. All right, so no more fleeces. No more fleeces. Dangerous business. You're in the enemy's territory on that. So I don't know where that came from. We know where it came from. So that pausing and considering what your spirit is saying or wanting to do, so important. Because, you know, sometimes, who knows, we have a soul. We are not a soul. We are not a soul man. We are a spirit man. But we do have a soul. And at times, who knows, you know, the Bible, we're not getting into this today, but just really quickly, you know, the Bible talks a lot about, you know, between our spirit and our soul. And it just kind of seems to me us women have a bit more challenges in this area concerning spirit and soul and knowing the difference, you know. And so, you know, the Bible talks out, you know, it's hard to tell the difference. The only thing that's going to separate that over in Hebrews, it said, is the word of God. The word of God, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces and it divides the spirit from the soul. So many times, and we've seen people, oh my, your heart goes out to them. I'm not making fun of them. But your heart goes out to him because they so believe, they know that they know that, yeah, I know, this is what God told me, this is this, and, you know, I'm to do this, and I know God is just da-da-da. And so many times, if it doesn't line up with the word of God, it's not from the Spirit of God, because the two will always agree. People, you know, I mean, we've heard some people say, oh, well, I know that God's telling me, you know, to marry that one. And meanwhile, they're married. It's like, you know, I mean, that's kind of ridiculous, but there was a case that was kind of similar to that. One day back when, but that I know that is extreme, but nonetheless, those kind of things happen. So you want to realize it is a growing process for us to know the difference between our spirit and our soul, because both of those are on the inside of us, right? And so we must know the difference, so then we're not following the soul, but we're following the Spirit of God. Amen. And the soul is completely opposite from the spirit. It will tell you to do a completely different thing. And so we want to watch for that. But that causing and that considering of what is my spirit saying, not my soul, not my emotions, my mind, my intellect, you know, my knowledge of things. No, what is my spirit, man? The one who knows all, the one who sees all, the one who sees everything. What is my spirit saying? And to follow from there. You know, an illustration is the woman caught in adultery. You know, we're given that as an illustration for numerous things, and one of them being something like this. Think about Jesus. Jesus was in quite a situation. You know, those Pharisees, they thought he had them. But once again, Jesus, living life from the inside out, knew what to do. But he didn't immediately do it. What happened? The Bible tells us how Jesus knelt down. and he waited. Remember, he was drawing in the sand. I believe he was looking down. He was just, we don't always have to give an answer right away. If you don't know the answer, let's not come up with one. Because we can really mess things up, especially if that answer is coming from our soul. We want our answers, any answers that we will give, we want them to be from the wisdom of God. And it's going to line up with the words of God. And it's going to bring the life of God and the light of God and the love of God into that situation. And so Jesus knelt down and he was just kind of doodling in the sand. I believe he was waiting. What do you say, Father? Because remember, Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father say. So he was waiting to hear what the Father would say. And then he gets up. And remember his response, he knew exactly how to respond. He had that answer from the Father God as he waited and knelt for just a few moments, and he had that answer. And he said, hey, you who has sinned, cast the first stone. And one by one, they all left. I mean, who could have ever come up with an answer like that? I mean, sometimes we come up with answers even as, you know, ministers, you know, those of us here that are ministers, sometimes we come up with answers and inside we're thinking like, I know that was the Lord, because I didn't know that. I'm not that smart. I am just not that smart. But, you know, it really is true. We have to really remember that we really aren't as smart as we think we are. Now, in some situations, I mean, I will truly admit I am not smart in that. But other areas, sometimes, who knows, sometimes you got some confidence that you know some things in another area. Still yet, even still, in that moment, be still. And listen and hear what the Spirit of God would say. Pause a moment. Listen and pray. And he will lead us in the right way. So it's dangerous sometimes when we think we know a lot about something, because we almost don't look to the inside for the direction on that thing. Now we might, yeah, you know, Lord, you know, da-da. But does that seem good to you? Is that right? You know, I want to follow you, Holy Spirit. You show me. But notice that. In Proverbs 4:23, you talk about, for out of our heart springs or flows the issues of life. Notice it flows when it comes out of the Spirit. I want to point out that there's no struggle. Flows. I know it says springs, but one of the translations I was reading through, it talks about it flows. For out of it, for out of our heart, out of our spirit, flows the issues of life. It's not struggling to come up and out to the outside. It flows. Everybody say, it flows, right? There's no struggle. There's no struggle. So we're seeing we need to cultivate a spirit consciousness, right? I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. I am not this body. I'll take some time on it. I'll help it to look as good as I can and spruce it up and do all those things. But that's not going to merely be my beauty. My beauty comes from the inside out. And so cultivating that spirit consciousness. And so one way we can do that, developing that spirit consciousness of I am a spirit. And I'll tell you, I've been finding myself lately, even just driving in the car or whatever, let these things come up. Because, you know, when it's one thing to read the word and then think on the word, but then it's another thing to actually speak it out of your mouth. Because when you speak it out of your mouth, your physical ear is hearing it, and also our spirit is hearing it. So give voice. Give voice to the words of God. Give voice to declarations from God's word. And we've got both ears that are hearing it. And it'll just help and strengthen us that much more. We need to cultivate a spirit consciousness by considering our convictions. You know, that's one of the ways that God leads us. We've been talking about that a bit here already. But the convictions, has anyone ever gone to do something and just the way we can describe it, just something on the inside? It's like, you just kind of knew not to do it. Has that ever happened to anybody, right? Or vice versa, something on the inside and you weren't going to do something, but something on the inside, it kind of just wouldn't leave you alone. It's kind of like a scratching from the inside that you can't, an itching or from the inside that you just can't get to, you know? If you got an itch on the outside, we can scratch it, right? But if it's coming from the inside, you just can't get to it. And so many times that's the Holy Spirit. Our spirit on the inside of us leading us. If we're going in the wrong way, he's leading us. No, stop, slow down, don't do this, do that. See, it's that slowing down. It's that following our guide on the inside. That's endeavoring. That's living life from the inside out. And who knows, in life, things go wrong. Stuff happens, stuff goes wrong. And we can't figure it all out, so let's not try and figure it all out. Amen. I just always endeavor to stay on God's side. I'm staying on God's side because he knows everything, and there's a lot I don't know, compared to him especially. And so I stay on God's side, and I do what I know to do. And I just press through, and I keep doing what I know to do. And so many times, and we've seen it as we counsel with people and endeavor to help people. You know, sometimes it's like they're thinking, well, why? It's like, but you know, and then you'll ask a few questions. They're not even doing what they know they're supposed to be doing. It's like, I have nothing more for you. It's like, do the last thing that you were told. And sometimes even me personally with God or even my husband / pastor, you know, it's like, well, what do I do? It's like, well, sometimes he's just leading us back to you. What was the last thing he told you to do? Because some of you, and I feel like this is totally prophetic right now. I mean, this is utterance. I feel like someone's been, God really hasn't been showing me. I don't really know. Well, he did, and it might have been a while back. You need to go back and find out what was the last thing he was leading you to do. What was the last thing he was leading you to not do? Where was it? Go back there and do it. You see? Because he's always speaking to us. It's just a matter of, are we listening? Are we too outward, or are we living from our inside out? If we're living from the inside, we hear him. Because that's where he is. That's where his voice is. That's where his guidance is, on the inside. So we are hearing. Oh, well, I haven't been hearing God. Well, you need to listen better. You need to slow down maybe a little bit more. You need to give him time to talk, time to speak to you. And, you know, time just for him to speak to us. So many times prayer, it's not just going and praying, all my needs will be met according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And I'm the blessed and I'm not the cursed and blah, blah, blah. Everything's about me. Even in prayer, everything's about me. Instead of being about God. God, you're so amazing. You're so faithful. You're so wonderful. You're so loving. Oh, you're so merciful. Oh, thank you, Lord. It's supposed to be all about him in prayer too. And this really is a wonderful way we can check up on ourselves. This is such utterance. I'm telling you, I wasn't saying any of this. I'm like, goodbye notes, here we go. But too many times we can just check up on ourselves. You know, what's the prayer time? Who are we talking about the most? Are we talking about our needs or his power? So you think, well, things haven't been working. Well, maybe you haven't been working them right. Go back, fix what needs to be fixed, and flow from there. And you'll see the results. So leading us from the inside out. And another way we can say, like we said, our consciousness, or our convictions. We're not going to turn there, but over in 1 Samuel 24, I just want to give reference to this. You can read it later if you wanted, verse 5 through 7. Just listen to what it says here. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. David's heart troubled him. And he said to his men, remember, it's not just about you. Men were around him. He cut that robe, and now his heart was troubling him. So he turns and says to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. And I'm telling you, I want to encourage you, even though, yes, I am a fivefold minister, amen, I didn't put myself there, God put me there. And we can say all of us are God's anointed, yes, but there are fivefold ministers that God has specifically anointed and equipped for you. Amen. And it's troubling at times to hear people and what they would actually say against God's anointed or inferring concerning God's anointed. It's very dangerous. And listen, we've all got flesh to deal with. I mean, there's been times, I am not perfect. You know, there are times where I'll see something, or maybe I really feel like I sense something concerning another minister or something. But oh, that scratching on the inside, I will not, I cannot speak against God's anointed. That's between them and God. I'm not in between them and God. So I encourage you as the church, as congregations sitting under God's anointed, you don't want to do that. It's very dangerous. Amen. And if you have done it, well, thank God, you, because the Holy Spirit was convicting you, and you just want to make it right and then stay right by the help of the Holy Ghost. You don't want to touch God's anointed. But even in all of us, though, we are all God's anointed. I mean, who knows? We're not supposed to be talking about anybody. I mean, duh, you know, right? But there's something about especially God's anointed. And you might be like, well, but they did do this or they did do that. Still ain't going there. Ain't going there. I mean, there's ministries that have even fell and stuff. And there's just so far I'm going. I'm not. Just, they were God's anointed. I'm not touching it. So I believe that's a beautifully said warning to us, helping us, keeping us in line, keeping us in check. Amen? Amen. Amen. So anyway, in the NIV in verse 7, listen what it says. Afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. So that tells me David was living from the inside out. He was aware of spirit, man. He was aware of his conscience, his convictions. I mean, this thing could have gone a whole different way if he didn't follow the conviction in his heart that day. So let us too learn. It's very important for us to stop, pause, and discern when our heart is scratching, gnawing at us to not do something or to do something. Very important. But that shows me he paid attention to his conscience, that he was a spirit. And he lived life from the inside out. So the voice of our spirit is our conscience or our convictions. That's the voice of our spirit. Our spirit has a voice. It's our conscience. It's our convictions. But you know what? The voice of our mind has a voice. That's our reasoning. Who's ever gotten caught there before? We don't want to get caught there. Ladies, we need to be determined concerning these things. They don't just happen. They don't just necessarily happen. It's a determination to do right. It's a determination to live from the inside out every day. Because the voice of our mind, that's our reasoning. The voice of our body, the five physical senses. Man, we got five things to deal with that thing about. Five physical senses, that's the voice of our body. And the voice of our soul. The voice of our soul has a very loud voice, and that's our emotions. So see, all of these different parts of us have a voice. So the voice that we want to hear the loudest and listen to the most is the voice of our spirit. And what is that? Our conscience, our convictions. Don't think like, oh, well, when something really important in my life comes and I'm gonna know to follow the Spirit of God, I'm gonna follow my convictions. Oh, but with these little tedious, menial, nothing things, it's okay if I don't follow my convictions on that. I'd rather not do this, or I want to go there, even though I know that feeling. I know I ought not to, but it's okay. No, it's not okay. Don't think that you're going to be strong enough later when more important, bigger things, more even sometimes life-threatening things come. Don't think you're going to be listening to the voice of your convictions then if you're not listening to them now. God is endeavoring by his Spirit to help us grow up. My Lord, we all need growing up. We all need strengthening and following the convictions of our heart, being led by our spirit, not listening to the voice of our mind, our soul, of our body, but listening to the voice of our spirit. So may we endeavor every day from this time forward. When those convictions come, even in the littlest of things it might seem, you follow that conviction. And guess what happens when you follow that conviction? You got stronger. And now when the next conviction comes, and it might be a little stronger, it might be a little more tough to maybe not yield to, you got stronger from the previous one, you see? And then you're stronger, and you stand on your conviction. You follow that conviction. You see, it's a growing process. But we've got to start where we are now and allow the Spirit of God to lead us and for us to follow those convictions. Amen? I mean, it is really serious business. Living life from the inside out. We're coming into a day. We are already in a day. You know, there's times I believe that Spirit from the inside, sometimes he'll say, you know, and I've heard of people, I've never experienced it myself yet, but I'm always open to that. Like, don't get on that plane. Don't get in that car. Don't go that way. Go this way. Oh, things like that. And see, it's just so important for us to follow him in every conviction, even if it seems like a small little menial nothing. that just shows me it's that one's easy for you. You can do that one. If it seems like little to you, you can do it. You overcome that thing. You follow the conviction. You follow that inward leading of your heart. Live your life from the inside out concerning that situation, and you'll see life in that situation. So it's living out of our convictions. Simple, simple things. It's weird. I'm going to tell you this. I think I've shared this before, but you know, one little conviction that I've had for years and years now, I'll be in a clothing store, in a store. I'm in a clothing store sometimes. But anyway, if I'm looking and, oh, a piece of clothing drops, a lot of you know what I'm going to say here, or if there's one already on the floor, you know, it's like it might seem so silly and nothing to you, but it starts somewhere. I've got to pick that up. And I can almost tell you, I can almost remember so many years back, and it was almost like I heard a voice. Well, who's going to pick it up then? And I dropped something. And I was just going to kind of kick it and just, come on, you know you've all done that. You know you have. I've probably picked up your stuff in the store. I'm just trying to get the word out so I don't have to pick up so much stuff. Get the word out, ladies. But see, it might seem like something so carnal, or I mean like so natural, but it lines up totally, and it's helping to train me for the things of the Spirit. So I can almost tell you, I can almost remember, it was almost as if it was a voice. Well, who's going to pick it up then? I'm like, I guess I am. I pick that thing up, and now, you know, I mean, of course, sometimes you're in a place and there's clothing everywhere. I'm not picking up everybody's stuff, but you know what I'm saying. If there's one or two things, I'll take it and just kind of lay it on the rack, but especially if I dropped it, who's going to pick it up? I'm going to pick it up. So you might think but little things like that are very important. It's helping to grow us. It's helping to mature us. It's helping to train us in the bigger things. And so that might not mean so much, well, except to the store clerk who has to clean it up later, might not mean so much, but it means a lot to my insides. I'll bet you I'm going to see a difference out there in the stores these days now. You all, you're going to remember this. And you know, let me tell you something. Isn't it so awesome? You're going to remember it because it's something the Holy Spirit is endeavoring to get over to us. And you'll think of other things. You drop it. Well, who else is going to pick it up? You know, it's just in these little things we grow. We really do. You'll see. You'll see. So we need to live from our convictions. The same conviction, this is good. The same conviction that corrects you, like even in that, right? That was a correction. Well, who's going to pick it up? I'm thinking, I'm not going to pick it up. I'm going to just scoot it under there so no one trips. I'm putting it under there so no one trips over it. Isn't that good enough? It's like in the same motion. Instead of going boom, I could have gone boom, you know? But that same conviction that will correct you in a thing, it's that same voice that is endeavoring to direct you in a thing. It's the same voice. Convicting us, directing us, right? We're here learning how to live from the inside out. We need directions on how to live from the inside out. Convictions and direction. So we don't really, sometimes, who knows, we don't want to really deal with being convicted, but we definitely want to be directed. No, we need to deal with being convicted, and that actually helps us to grow and to be better directed by the Spirit of God in His flow. He's directing us from the inside out. And something else that's so important is to get that word of God in us. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." That word in our heart is so important. Again, because how do you know? You know, there's certain things that we know right or wrong even before we were saved and got in the Bible, right? But who knows, once we got in that, we got saved and we got in the Word of God, we learned some things in the Word of God. Now there, it's really added to the list of things that we know are right and good to do and are wrong and bad to do, right? It's just added to the list. And so it's so important that we get this word and we get it downloaded into our hearts. And then that will help us. See, again, where are we being directed from? We're wanting to live from the inside out. So getting His word in us is very important And that's also by his word, through his word, he's helping to direct us in the way to go and in the way not to go. So his word, his words, I mean, his spirit and his word are one. And these on the inside of us together is what's helping to lead us into life. So we put the word in our heart and then we live it out. Anybody live in the word today? I don't have a clock. I need to. So we're needing to learn getting that word in our heart and then living it out. Hallelujah. And you know, when we download that word in our heart, guess what? He brings those things to our remembrance at times that we need it. And that might be that conviction. Oh, no. But you know, the word says da, 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 da. Oh, yes. And we follow that. We live from the inside out. So getting that word downloaded is so important. And when we need it, it's going to come up. It's going to come out. It's going to lead us into life. Yes, it is. But you know, what's done from the outside, we're talking about living life from the inside out. Well, what about living life from the outside out? You know, and that's what, especially people that aren't even saved, they are living life from the outside out. Even Christians, they are who they are. They're born again, but yet they're not living from that inside. They're living from the outside. But what's done from the outside is only temporary, and it's not going to last. It won't remain. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Just listen to this. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God, or we could say the words of God, abides forever. See, so the things of the world, they are all temporary. That's why, what a waste of time to live life from the outside out. What a waste of time to focus all our attention on our outward body and focusing no time on our inner man. Because we're not taking these bodies with us. No matter how good you can get your body to look, it just ain't gonna match up to our glorified body. And I'll take my glorified body over any workout body. Hallelujah. But I'm not throwing that out where we're not to take care of our body to a certain degree either. So, you know, there's a balance. But what's done from the outside is only temporary. Living life from the outside out, there's no life in that. It's temporary. It does not last. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 18. I'm going to read this just from the Amplified. I believe they're putting it on the screen. Therefore, we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, and wearied out through fear. Though our outward man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self, everybody say inner self, inner self is being progressively renewed day after day. Hallelujah. I like that. Our inner man, our spirit man is being renewed day by day. Goes on, since we consider and look not at the things that are seen, or I want to say outward, since we consider and look not at the things that are outward, but to the things that are unseen, or the things that are inward. For the things that are visible or outward are temporal, brief and fleeting. But the things that are invisible or inside us, are deathless and everlasting. Woo! Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Ephesians 3:16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. As we live from the inner man, our inner man is being strengthened and strengthened and rejuvenated and progressively strengthened and strengthened. It's without end, deathless. When we live from our head, what we are doing is dead. When we're living from our head, what we are doing, it's just simply dead. There's no life to it. It's either dead or it's dying, passing away. It has no lasting life to it. So yeah, we're in this world. There's things for us to do. You know, there's activities and there's hobbies for us to enjoy and all these kind of things, you know. But the thing that matters the most is our inner man. Strengthening our inner man. Living from the outside out is really just existing and not really living at all. And that's what most of the world is doing. Living from the outside out. Now, they might look great on their outside. Some of them, that's what their world is all about. And sometimes it's just a matter, let us, even when we are approached by people like that, or approach people like that, or are encountered around people that would be like that. Been there, done it. Getting really good at it now. But we don't want to be intimidated by that. We want to know, if anybody's got the goods here, baby, it's me. You might have some things, but I've got the one. I've got the life giver of things. And he lives on the inside of me. And see, so instead of us, and especially as women, immediately it's kind of like our cat back goes up, you know. But that's not living from the inside out. That's living from the outside out. That is reacting to another person's flesh or abundance of it being seen. Let's not be reactors to the flesh. Let's be responders of the Spirit. Why don't we, instead of coming down to their level, and as women automatically, you know, just the jealousy, the envy, the whatever, can we look deeper than their skin to something within? Let our deep call out to their deep, because they've got a deep in them. Life flowing out of us can bring life to them. But if we're just flesh calls to flesh, see, so there's a lot of flesh in this world. Flesh, what does flesh do? It just calls to flesh. So see, someone's flesh, they're calling to your flesh. We all have flesh. So know that your flesh is being called to. But who's gonna respond? My flesh isn't gonna react. My spirit's gonna respond to that call to my flesh. Because I want, and I know that the word says that deep calls to deep. I know flesh is trying to call a flesh right now, but deep calls to deep. And I understand there's a Savior that you need to meet. Living from the inside out is not just living, but it's life-giving. 1 Corinthians, we won't turn there, just listen, chapter 15, verse 45, and it says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. Another translation says soul. So the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last man, Adam, became a life-giving spirit. So Adam was just a soul man. He was supposed to grow up into spirit man, but he didn't. Jesus, he was born a living soul, but Jesus also, he grew, and he became a life-giving spirit. It didn't just, oh, well, that was Jesus. That was automatic. Not at all. No, he became a life-giving spirit. So that tells me we are to be growing and becoming better and better at being life-giving spirits. Amen. A life-giving spirit, what is that? It's someone who is giving life out of their spirit. Ladies, you got to know what's on the inside of you. You got to know who's on the inside of you. You think, oh, well, I don't really have much. My Lord, if you're born again, the Spirit of God, the life-giving Spirit, lives on the inside of you. You've got plenty to give. And you want to be that life-giving Spirit. Someone who is giving life out of their spirit. Remember, deep calls to deep. Spirit calls to spirit. This world needs people that are living from the inside out. They don't need another person living from the outside out. John chapter 7, verse 38. That's the scripture that talks about out of your heart, right? Out of your heart. What's that? Our spirit. Out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. So when we're flowing from our heart, life is flowing forth from our heart to the person that we're speaking to, ministering to, endeavoring to help. Don't think you got to come up with it. Just let the river flow. New Living Translation says, rivers of living water flow out from within. Rivers of living water flow out from within. We have rivers of living water on the inside of us. Are our rivers stagnant and not moving? They are if we're living from the outside out. There ain't no movement in your rivers. But when we're living from the inside out, those rivers are flowing from the inside out. Living waters flowing. Life. There's life. Life. Ministering life to the hearer. Imparting life to the hearer. Imparting life to the people around you. It matters not just for you, but for the whole world too. Listen to this. Those who live from the outside out are selfish, life-sucking souls. But those who live from the inside out are life-giving spirits. When you live from the inside out, your spirit reaches out, calls out, and draws out the spirit in others. A little bit like we were saying earlier. That deep calls to deep. That's over in Psalm 42:7. If you want to make note of it, you can look at it later. That's where that deep calls to deep. Over in Philemon, it says that the sharing of your faith may become effective. Who wants the sharing of your faith to be effective? I mean, you don't want to share your faith and it to be totally a waste of time, totally ineffective and do nothing. What a waste of your time, their time, everybody's time. I mean, you could have been home washing clothes or something, or making dinner. That your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. It's time. If we want to really be effective, if you're feeling ineffective, well, you might probably not be thinking very well of yourself, possibly. And let's face it, if you don't think well of yourself, how in the world are you going to think good of others? You don't even think good about yourself. You think this about yourself and that about yourself. Well, don't think, but I think so-and-so's wonderful and they're so wonderful and they're so... You're going to think everybody's as pathetic as you think you are. We're not saying that we're all perfect yet, but that's what we're endeavoring to do. We're growing. But there's something, it's like, what are you acknowledging the most? Remember, we don't want to live from the outside out. We don't want to be acknowledging our flesh and our soul. Living from there. No, we want to live from the inside out. So what am I doing then? I'm acknowledging I am a spirit man. I'm acknowledging that the Spirit of God lives inside of me and he leads me from my inside. I'm acknowledging that, right? So then that's going to help me to walk in it when I acknowledge it. Well, here, that's why he's saying acknowledge the acknowledgement of every good thing that's in you. There's good things in you. And so we need to acknowledge the good that is in us. I'm not saying there's not times that God will convict us and correct us, you know, and show us something that's wrong, but we can't be afraid. We don't want to be afraid to see something that's wrong about us. My Lord, what are we like, shocked? So we know that there'll be times like that, but yet we want to make it a habit of living by acknowledging the good things that are in us. And guess what that's going to do? That's going to help produce those good things that are in you to come out of you. But if you're not acknowledging them, and instead you're acknowledging how pathetic you are, what's going to happen? More patheticness. But if we will acknowledge the good in us, good's going to flow. Amen. You see that? So not only for us, acknowledge what's in us that's good, but then what's in others too. But to see, if we're always finding ourselves acknowledging what's wrong with us, we're going to always be acknowledging what's wrong with other people too. So if you find that you're quite a critic of people and judgmental, fingers pointing back at you, baby, you better start acknowledging every good thing that's in you, because that's dangerous. That's a dangerous way to live. It is. But see, it starts back with us. There's good in me. There's greatness in me. You got to see you for who you really are, and then you'll be able to see others for who they really are. We want to look through clear eyes, full of light, full of the Word of God. Then we'll be able to see ourselves right. And then when we look at others, we'll be able to see them right too. Amen. I bet that answered a lot of questions and helped a lot of people there. And then lastly, you know, when we focus on the good things within us and within others, that's when we're really going to see that fruit of the Spirit flowing forth from our life. Because we're acknowledging who we are, whose we are, what we have, what's available to us. And, you know, I mean, that the fruits of the Spirit, they're just going to flow and produce off of our branches of life. It just happens because we are acknowledging the good in us. So good grows. Amen. The fruit grows. Living life responding with the fruits of the Spirit, not reacting through the works of the flesh. So we're not going to turn there for time, but you can look at that later. We're talking about over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 26. And he's talking about in there the works of the flesh. They're evident. Everybody say evident. I mean, they are seen. Baby. Yeah, they are seen. They are evident, the works of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit, that's just something that flows as we grow. The more we see those fruits of the Spirit flowing forth and growing from our life, the more we're realizing I really am living from the inside out now. Because remember, inside, that's Spirit, man. Fruits of the Spirit, that's where they are. That's where they start to grow, from the inside out. So being a responder, I know we've heard this before, but I love this. You know, when something happens, instead of reacting in the flesh, we want to respond by the Spirit. Who knows? Stuff happens. But we are continuing to advance and to grow in the things that are in our heart, the things that we know. And may it be the next time something comes up. Anything ever come up before? Let us not react in the flesh. Because remember, flesh calls to flesh. If we're reacting in the flesh, and who knows, when we've all been there, done that. In a certain situation, you react to the flesh. What does it do? Does that produce the righteousness of God out of that person to flow beautifully? No. It pulls the flesh out of them. I mean, flesh calls to flesh. And unfortunately, flesh answers. But we can get to the place where we're really good at, when flesh does call to our flesh, deep answers. When flesh calls, let the deep in you answer. And then it helps to bring down that person and helps them. It might take a while sometimes, but a calming down of that flesh, because you're not reacting in the flesh, you are responding by the Spirit, so you're helping to relax. A soft answer turns away wrath. So we don't react. And who knows, a reaction, it's kind of like a quick movement, you know? Reaction. It's just something happens, you just react. It's like, bah! Has anyone ever reacted to something before? Especially when it's about you. I mean, you know, you find things out, you hear things, whatever, and immediately, because flesh calls to flesh. Let's not be upset that our flesh heard something, because that's what their flesh was calling to. Their flesh wasn't calling to my Spirit. Their flesh was calling to my flesh. And in that moment, it's time, am I going to let my flesh react and answer, or am I going to sink back in and respond by the Spirit? Amen? So immediately, your flesh wants to react, but rather, we are learning to live from the inside out. And instead, our Spirit responds. You'll see better results. You'll see better outcomes to those moments when we find our flesh not reacting and rather our Spirit responding. Remember, deep calls to deep. Call to their deep. Call to their deep. And I'm not saying, well, you're not answering the deep. You're still answering my flesh. You're not answering my deep. They're like, what are you, crazy? You're not going to that Bible study anymore. What are you? Don't get me in trouble. Stay deep, ladies. Stay deep. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, I believe we've been helped today. Amen. Yes, we have. And so what I always like to do, we've just got a few more minutes left. We love God's word and we love his spirit. Amen. So just these next few moments, we're just quiet. We love you, Lord. So amazing. You're so amazing. Such light you bring. You lead us into victory. Show us the way. Enveloping us right now, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Freshness of your spirit flowing. Freshness of your spirit flowing. I know everything's gonna be okay. Gonna live from my spirit every day. I'm gonna follow him through my convictions. And I'm gonna dig in the word for more revelation. So I can live from the inside out. And no more walking in doubt. I'm gonna live from the inside out. You're my victory. Yes, you are, Lord. Even those things I don't yet see, you are my victory. You are my answer to everything, yeah. You are my victory. And I will walk from the inside out, and I won't be taken by what I see. Not gonna take me. No. Gonna live in victory.
From the inside out, from the inside out. From the inside out, from the inside out, from the inside out. Wisdom is here. Don't fear. Wisdom is always near. He's made it clear. We know wisdom is always here. Direction in knowing what to do. And the next step, Lord, we only want it to be in you. You've shown us the way today. It's living from the inside out every day. That wisdom will flow. And the direction we need, we will be anxious about anything. We know we have victory. We look to the unseen things, into eternity. May it be our reality. May eternity, Lord, be our reality. And it will help us then to not walk in carnality when eternity is our reality. When eternity is our reality.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Gene Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org or call 888-542-2555. You can hear more messages by Gene Fraser by going to her media page at genefraser.org. While you're there, you'll also find more information about Gene's bi-monthly Ladies Bible Studies and a Night in the Glory Ladies Meetings, as well as her annual You Glow Girl Ladies Conference. That website again is genefraser.org. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.